I'm not sure about that. I think you guys all
some,
are.
Some of us fight it. Some of us fight it more than others.
Okay, the recordings have started. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Gisela, could I ask you, or perhaps Gwen, whoever is...
It's Gisela. I'll do it with pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's JAS call on Tuesday the 28th of September. We have Avery Doria, Evan Leibovich, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Carlos Aguirre, Alan Greenberg, Eric Brunner-Williams, Sébastien Bachelet, David Kisundoyar, Tijani Benjema, Rafik Damak, and we have David Gowan on the call as well. We have from staff Carla Valente and myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and we have apologies today from Alex Gakuru. I hope I haven't left anyone off the list. We're still trying to dial out to Tony Harris and to Boudouin Chombe, and if I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is Aubrey. At the moment, I'd like to ask the SOI and DOI questions, the statement of interest, and the declaration of interest. First, the statement of interest. Does anyone have a change of statement of interest to make? And for anyone who's new to the call, do you have a statement of interest to make? Or does anyone have any changes? Can I ask? And please forgive me, and Gisela or Glenn, correct me. David Cohen, do you have a statement of interest on file for this working group?
No, I do not.
Could you quickly state who you are and your affiliation for the record and your interest? Everyone else has one on file, so if you could make a verbal statement at that point and then follow up with the Secretariat with a written one, I would appreciate it.
Of course, I am solely a registrant with interest to the topic, and if it is an issue for me being on the call, I will, of course, disconnect.
No, not asking you to disconnect, basically just asking that everyone state their interest, and I would ask you to follow up with Glenn to get one on file.
I will do that. Thank you, Avery.
Okay, thank you. Excuse me. I see Andrew has joined us. Having gone through the statement of interest, having gotten a statement of interest from David Cohen, and having gotten no addition to the statement of interest, I'd like to ask the question about the declaration of interest, which relates specifically to the topics under discussion today, which would be pretty much any subject doing with, well, applying for aid if there were aid to be available. Does anyone have a declaration of interest to make at this time? Okay. Hearing none, I'll move on to the agenda. In the agenda, basically...
Eric has his hand up.
Oh, Eric has his hand up. I'm so sorry. Eric.
Thank you, Avery. In your response to Dave, who's the news of the call, you said a interest for this news, for this group.
Excuse me,
I'm
really noisy. I can't understand what's being said.
We have an interesting audio effect. I'll put it to Skype.
You mean, okay.
Oh, the sound problem seems to have gone away. So in your response to David, you said a statement of interest for this group. The statement of interest is not specific to a group. We don't have to file one for each group.
Actually, I think we actually do. What many of us have done is file an omnibus one for every group, but I actually do believe a statement of interest does need to be filed for every working group that one is a member of.
We'll have to take this up in the...
Right, okay, great. And as I say, this whole statement of interest, declaration of interest, is a very big, open topic that's getting bigger all the time. So, yeah, but it's certainly not a topic for us.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so basically the agenda had basically two items on it. I want to check and make sure. First of all, we've got the board resolution. I've put that up. Make sure, have any conversations we need to in terms of making sure we have a common understanding of it and then deciding what, if anything, we wish to do about it. And then two, and basically it says a discussion of you know, where we are and what our approach to finishing our work is. What I'm suggesting is assuming that we come out of that first discussion with a, oh, let's continue doing the work, et cetera, then basically we start going through our document. You know, we have a remaining open issues list we could talk about and then go back to the... I'm really confused now reading the agenda. I had a two-part agenda, but there's a multi-part one. So anyhow, let me go with the agenda this year. Discussion of where we're at, what our approach should be to do to finish our work as soon as possible, then talk through any remaining open issues, make sure the list is correct, then go back to summary and comment document to confirm that the answers are as they should be and that there's a correspondence between the comments. Okay, that one actually should be, we go back to our final document and make sure it's correct, that it contains what it should contain, and then we would go to the comments document. Any, and of course, with 45 minutes left, I don't know how far we'll get in any of this. Any comments? Other than one that we should be more coordinated in getting our agenda out? Okay, in which case we'll start with the board's resolutions regarding applicant support. And basically, I've got that on the screen now. I think I've got it set up so that everyone can scroll it themselves. If I've got it backwards, please let me know. I'll change it.
Okay. Yeah, no scroll control that I can see, Avery, so
okay,
you can do
so
it.
Okay, so I've got the sync button backwards.
Thanks.
Avery, this is Andrew. For whatever reason, it isn't letting me into Adobe Connect. So if someone's on the line.
Somebody has to let you in, and I don't see where your request is to be let in. Isola, could you or Carla look at letting him in?
I'm done.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so the first item was just basically to make sure we all have an awareness of what the board has said and then to discuss what, if anything, we wish to change in our forward motion based on that. So there's a new GTLD application support. It says support to applicants will generally include outreach and education to encourage participation across all regions, but any direct financial support for applicant fees must come from sources outside of ICANN. Staff will publish a list of organizations that request assistance and organizations that state an interest in assisting with additional program development, for example, pro bono consulting advice, pro bono in-kind support, or financial assistance so that those needing assistance and those willing to provide assistance can identify each other and work together. Owing to the level of uncertainty associated with the launch of new GTLDs, the fee levels currently in the application guidebook will be maintained for all applicants. So this is basically the response to our proposals. Certainly all the proposals that this group was in the process of making due to fee levels were rejected. And I think there's some support for the other types of support that we were proposing, the sort of the pro bono assistance and the sort of clearinghouse notion for other assistance. Opening discussion, I see two hands up already. Tijani, please, are you mute?
I am mute.
No, I can hear you now.
Okay, very good. So the first barrier for the applicants is the fees. And if ICANN decided that the fees will be the same for everyone, that means that they reject our work. But I think we don't have to care a lot about that. We have to continue and to give our recommendation to the board and to the community. And we have to lobby for that. we have to speak about it in the open forum in Cartagena and in any fora, anywhere we can speak about it. It is not, we don't have any interest as a persons, but we have an interest as a community. We had a mission, and we tried to do this mission. It seems that the board changed his mind. And I understand. I understand it because when in Nairobi, when they declared the resolution 20, I was surprised because I see on the table of the board people that one day before they were against. So I felt that there was the balance was for people who were with the community. Today, it seems that the balance is not the, in the same point. But it doesn't matter. We have to work. We have to lobby. What we do is for the community, and we have to continue to work with our conscience, not regarding what others say, and even if they are member of the board.
Okay, thank you, Tijani. I see a check from Eric in support of your statement. Carla, I see your hand up. Is this, do you want to be in the queue, or did you want to make a specific response to what Tijani said?
I would like to make a response to what Tijani said, actually a suggestion to the group. I often hear one of the comments related to the fees, and that's not specific to board comments, but I hear from, you know, staff and other community people, well, if a needy applicant doesn't have money to pay for application fees, how is he going to run a registry, which is, you know, a much more higher, it's a higher cost, and we need something that is businesses that are sustainable. So I think maybe we could add something that would clarify how the fee reduction could really benefit developing countries and somehow address this concern about the not having money to run a registry.
Okay, thank you. And in fact, I think that contains a larger suggestion when I look at the document that we need to do more explanation as to why these things are a good idea. Alan, I've got you next.
Yeah, thank you. Notwithstanding the issue that Tijani raised, I'm a little bit confused about the wording there to begin with. It says staff will publish a list of those who are requesting assistance. We scrapped the expression of interest. I don't know the mechanism by which staff can get that information. How are we telling people ahead of time, since a fair amount of the assistance might be required prior to submitting the application, to be able to both put together the application and prove that you're capable of running a registry, there seems to be a cart and horse problem here. That it just doesn't make any sense how this can work and is almost doomed to failure unless there's a separate process going to be going on to solicit these things well before the application period, which means now. So I'm a little bit confused about how one can actually implement this, even if you take it at face value.
Okay, thank you. And I see Sebastian has added a green check in support of your comment. Okay, Evan, I've got you next. Evan? Doesn't look like you're muted.
How's that?
Okay. Oh, I heard. How's that?
Okay. I just wanted to let everybody know, if you hadn't seen it in email, that I was quite concerned by the board response and, in fact, was wondering upon what basis and what presentation to the board that the community input was being delivered, if indeed it was being put through a filter through which our concerns were not being properly expressed. That's important to me. So I have made a specific request through email as co-chair to Carla to request the specific documentation, that is, any reports, presentations, and other supporting materials that was given the board upon which to make its recommendation. I hope I have this committee's support of it. I just want to, first of all, just be clear about what I've done. I wanted to act quickly because I believe this to be no longer just a GTLD issue, but an ICANN accountability and transparency issue. I was under the impression that the board retreat was not itself going to produce any official statements or resolutions. So some of this came as a surprise to me. I hope I have the support of the rest of the committee, and I'll take any flack or responsibility for having done that before this call.
Okay, thank you. As I noted on the list, as your co-chair, I endorse your request and add my name to it, and I'll join you in flack receipt at any point. I saw at least several green checks. I saw Tijani, Sebastian, Dave, and Andrew did change his hand up to a green check for a while. Could anyone on the call who objects to this, and Cheryl's check has gone up, could anyone that objects to this put a red X up? I see no red X's, and Alan has joined with a check. So I think from the list where there has been no dissent, no shout back at you, and from the list of checks, I think we can say that you do have the support, and I have joined you, so I would say that we have the support. The chairs are making a formal request.
Okay, thank you. And I would just add one more thing, is that after I put out my letter, I received a private email from a chair of a totally unrelated committee who is going to be tracking the progress of this because he's in the exact same situation of having presented things that did not get received with a good reaction by the board and is also interested to see the public visibility of the way that community input is being provided to the board. It does, you know, sort of go to the heart of why were we created by the board with this mandate only to be rejected this way. And part of me is wondering whether or not we're simply being presented through, I hesitate to say hostile filter, but at least one that isn't advocating our position in front of the board, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. I might recommend that in response to this private communication, you suggest that they make a formal request also so that there's several formal requests to be dealt with, and I know of at least two groups whose inputs, other than us, whose inputs seem to have been ignored. In fact, the only one that was encouraged to continue doing work was the one that said they were deadlocked. But anyway, be that as it may. Andrew.
Yes, Avery. First of all, I heard the same yesterday. We had an IGF USA debrief from Vilnius, and there were a number of people from other groups who had a similar puzzled response to this, and there's similar concerns, so I agree with you very much. I was looking at the resolution that was posted on the website. And one of the things that I noticed was this whole timing issue with the GAC recommendations and things like that. And I wonder if that doesn't, the way that it is perhaps cleverly worded, I wonder if that doesn't present us with an opportunity, because this may not be over. They got the GAC recommendations late, from what I understand, and in the way that they wrote this, they almost said, we're not looking at these seriously, which suggests to me that they're going to have to go back and revisit this in any case. So if anything, it would suggest to me that the people who are saying, let's keep pushing forward, I subscribe to that notion, because I think that this is far from over.
Okay, thank you. I see Eric got his hand up, and then Cheryl. Eric, go ahead, and please also mention the things that you've been putting out on the comment period. The comment space. I haven't been able to include them or respond in any way, so please include those. Thank you. Eric.
I hope you weren't asking me about the comments.
I can't hear you.
I said I hope you weren't asking me about the comments.
No, I was asking you. You seem to be making some suggestions or questions in the chat area, so I was just suggesting you mention those also, just in case, like me, everyone's not able to follow it.
Okay, I have a few things to say. Going backwards, I'll start with Evan. Evan, I believe that there is an accountability and transparency issue here. I urge you to make that case, and that's the reason why I didn't simply give a check mark, is that I wanted to point to this issue in particular, that there is an accountability and transparency issue present. Next to Carla, I take your point that if the fee is too much, then there is the naive belief that the registry operator will not be able to meet expenses. Clearly, what we need to do is point out the difference between the upfront fee cost and the ramp up of revenue as the registry goes into operations, because the belief that a registry applicant that doesn't have the initial fee is incapable of actually operating is a naive belief, probably from parties who have never operated a registry. And I believe there's at least two of us on this call who have operated registries and can speak to this issue very directly. Finally, back to the language of the board's motion, that unfortunate text. If the assistance in the paragraph 2 is imagined to be post-application, then each applicant which is at need risks the total loss of its fee and all additional resources, including the continuity instrument. So if this is the sense that is intended by the board, that whatever assistance is possible arises after the deposit of all of the resources of the applicant, then we need to be able to make sure that the applicant can recover some value should they be unable to obtain the assistance they're seeking. So basically what this means is we have to find a way for applicants to be able to sell their successful application which they're unable to realize for lack of further resources. I think that's not what the board originally intended, that there was trafficking in PLD applications, but it is the only way I can think of offhand to preserve the value that the applicant submits who does not receive the aid that is necessary for them to continue. It's either that or we simply have failed registries, all the needy applicants become failed registries, and that's probably not what the board wants either. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eric. And while you were speaking, I saw a couple green checks flash through but didn't actually record on which point and whatever, but there definitely was support for what you were saying. Cheryl.
I didn't look at the screen, but thank you.
Thanks, Avery. Cheryl here. Eric, unfortunately, I missed part of what you were saying because the operator was busy asking me to mute because apparently I have an untenably loud and noisy line that's just driving you all to distraction, so I apologize for that. Once I finish speaking, if I'm being such an incredible distraction, which is going to be interesting when I do chairing for the next 4 hours of the evening for other meetings, if I can get Avery or someone in control of meeting view to mute me, then feel free to do so.
I will mute you and unmute you as you speak. So.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate that greatly. Now, so I missed what you were saying, but everything I heard you say, Eric, I think it was incredibly important. The reason I put my hand up was twofold. One was to strongly suggest to this work group that the chairs should formally bring this concern, and I think it's a quite a reasonable concern to bring forward, not only through Carla, but directly to the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. It goes across a number of the activities that both the external evaluator Berkman is looking at and also some of the internal work teams. So wearing my ATRT member hat, we can't do something without you complaining about it, so please do so. Secondly, as Avery pointed out, it's not the only extremely hard-working, in fact, almost unbelievably hard-working work group, cross-community work group in particular, that has been operating at a frenzied level, I would like to suggest, to try and put a huge amount of consensus building and work together for this board retreat so that they had as much information as possible to look at the wonderful world of new GTLDs. As was noted, the only one that got anything positive back was the one who was in deadlock and sort of said, please get back to us to say, are you totally in deadlock or not? The one which has got to do with morality and public order, that's a tripartite model of chartering organisation, and in about 8 or 9 hours I think it'll be your afternoon in Eastern Standard Time or Daylight Time or whatever you're in America. Heather, the chair of the GAC, has asked Chuck and myself and Frank to have a teleconference with her because she would like to discuss with us as co-chairs of at least one of those work groups some of the matters from her perspective from the retreat. So I'd like to ask, if you're all wanting me to, if there is something relevant, even though it's not specific to the JIS topic, if there was something more general in the way materials were able to be presented at the time that was available for them to go through during the retreat, I will ask her if it's possible for me to pass that information back on to this and indeed the other work groups.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. I believe that it would be totally, and I'll ask the group on whether they accept this, to pass on any of our discussions, our issues about transparency, and such to them, and to lend support to, you know, to inform them of which way we're looking at going, and to, you know, see what support we have for common action. I see
I think there may, in fact, be a wider cross-community interest in a number of the outcomes.
Okay. Does anybody object to the basically carte blanche that I've and forgive me for trying to use something that came from French, but to Cheryl in terms of our support and information from our approach or our distress?
Avery, can I say something quick to this?
Please do.
Okay. I'm jumping the gun a bit because the AILAC meeting directly after this is where I was going to raise this, but I just wanted to, I guess, mention it now because it's appropriate and find out what the sense is here. I was actually going to propose at the AILAC meeting that the AILAC endorse a request for information on behalf of all of the working groups in which it's participating. This one, the REC 6 one, the other cross, any other cross-community groups in which we're participating, and essentially to try and get some visibility in the way that the community input is being presented. So in addition to my own request through staff, I was kind of hoping that the AILAC, in a motion that I was going to make in the upcoming meeting, would make a formal request for this, and I guess I would also make a suggestion to my GNSO friends on the same call to see if council would be interested in making the same request.
Okay, thank you. I guess Rafiq is our liaison, so that would be a question to him. So I'd like to ask the question, does anyone on this call object to Evan making the motion in the name of this group within AILAC in his next call? I see no red X's. The other thing I wanted to mention from Cheryl's, and I haven't muted her yet, which I said I would do, is that, but I don't hear any noise at the moment, is that I think that her suggestion about Evan and I sending something to the ATRT is a good idea, and I might suggest to Evan in the context of AILAC that within your motion you may want to include passing a copy to ATRT and thus avoid putting Cheryl in the position of being both chair and participant in the other group and having to say, oh, I don't know how you would say it. But anyway, so I'd like to make a recommendation. Does anyone object with, first of all, Evan and I sending the issue to the ATRT? I see no red checks. I do think that we should pass the message that we're going to send across the mailing list first, so that the wording can be dealt with if anyone, either not on this call or you know, has concerns about the wording to let you all see it before it's sent. Going back now to the list, we've got Alan, Rafiq, and then Eric. So, Alan, please, and thank you for letting us interrupt in the queue.
Thank you. You're welcome. Two things. Number one, going back to the to your comment about maybe we didn't explain things well enough in the report, if you go back to the original Nairobi resolution, there was a whereas saying, whereas the whole program is supposed to be cost recovery. So since we were advocating a number of different ways that if cost recovery wasn't being violated, at least it was being mangled a little bit, I think perhaps we did not explain that well enough. We don't, of course, know to what extent the detail, you know, the summaries that were passed to the board included any of our explanations, but that's something I think we need to look at in the final version. I note it wasn't a resolve in the resolved that we come up with cost recovery, but it was a whereas, which means we should be addressing it. The second issue relates to, I guess, what Cheryl was saying, and I'm more than a little bit concerned, as I think we all are, that we're looking at a number of different groups that were effectively chartered by the board or requested by the board, and to a large extent, all we have seen out of the retreat has been what has been characterized as a slap in the face. That is, not really acknowledging the work that was done or the specifics of it. And I find that more than a little bit troublesome. And I do that, I say that in the context that this was not supposed to be a board meeting with resolutions to begin with. As late as a few days before the meeting, it still was billed as a retreat, not a formal board meeting. And I would have thought that out of the retreat, the groups that it chartered should have got some more specific and targeted feedback, not just some whitewashed resolutions, which are very hard to parse and understand and don't really give us any guidance as to what to continue to do, if anything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I've got Eric.
Thank you.
Rafiq disappeared.
I have problem with my browser.
Okay, Eric, is it okay? I did have Rafiq before you, but
ahead,
he
Rafiq.
Disappeared from the list.
So just have 2 points. First, that as a working group, we have to continue working, and I will have to present our last outcome to the next GNSO Council conf call next week. And then I think that we are requesting comments from different stakeholder groups and constituency. The second point, if I understand the event request, maybe I will try to to send the message requesting from GNSO Council about disclosing the documents that used by the ICANN board. I want some clarification from Evan, and I will be happy to send the message or the request to GNSO Council. Thank you
very much. I've got Eric, and then I put my hand up because I want to make a personal comment, even though I know I'm constantly talking as chair. Eric.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, Rafiq, for stepping on your spot there. Just wanted to let you all know that I'm one of the Berkman interviewees, so I, too, will be
Eric, can I ask you, please, to speak in the microphone? I can't understand you.
You're very soft. Eric, you please speak up.
Thank you.
Okay, that's
hold the apparatus closer to my mouth.
Thank you.
Because I've been interviewed by the Berkman Center and have the opportunity to provide additional input, I'm going to summarize the sense of our call and why that as well. So that will also be a component to the ATRT by the Berkman Center. Alan made the point about the
whereas and cost recovery. And I've been troubled by this ever since the beginning, or, you know, all the way back to the Los Angeles meeting 3 years ago. Communities advertising their application are not in the same... there's a real echo here, so I'm hearing myself a few seconds late. Applications which are community-based advertise for existence, and that prevents string collision. That makes the likelihood of string contention reduced, whereas applications which are close to secrets by the applicant, standard applications, may collide because there may be applications for SHU or things sufficiently close to SHU to meet string contention criteria. ICANN has persistently said that every applicant has to pay for the string confusion development, for the string similarity software, and so on and so forth. But this is clearly a cost which is being borne by community applicants who advertise their existence, reducing the likelihood of string contention, or who have truly unique names, which there is no contention for, there will be no contention for, and yet they're being forced to pay the fee for the development of tools which are intended to, basically for an entirely different class of applications, standard class of applications which are introduced covertly. So I think we have been letting ICANN slide on the cost recovery issue by allowing them to charge anything they want to every applicant uniformly and not tasking them to make cost recovery actually mean something more than a blanket statement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, having put myself in the queue, I wanted to bring out two things. First of all, I was also one of the Berkman in interviewees, and I think that's an excellent idea, Eric. I think we'll try to do something similar and pass the issue on to them. It was an issue I had already spoken about in general because it's certainly been an issue I've been carrying a banner about for a couple years now in terms of secret reports to the board that have them making decisions that make no sense to anybody, and et cetera. So I think that's a great idea, and hadn't thought of it myself. The other thing I wanted to point out is that while people were talking, and perhaps some of you alluded to it, but I realized that the suggestion that was made in our excerpt about staggering the payment of fee during the application period is actually not one that they responded to. They did respond to fee levels, but and it may just be an oversight in the writing, but they did not respond to fee payment schedules. So while it's a very small point, it is something that I do think should be brought out when we continue working on the report. I definitely am fully in support of, in fact, I had realized it when I was working over the weekend on the report, is that we have lost an explanatory section on all of these many questions, such as, you know, if you're not rich enough to pay the fee, how are you rich enough to do that? Even though we've talked to people about that theme, and many of us have until we were blue in the face, it keeps coming up, therefore we should put it in. We haven't, you know, gone into depth on the rationale as to why any of these particular fees should be dropped, et cetera. So I do think those are sections that need to be written before we finish the final report. As usual, I'll be looking for volunteers to write the first chunk of some. I'll certainly volunteer to write some first chunks myself. So I'll take myself out of the list, go back to chair mode. Evan.
Sorry, I had to take myself off mute.
Okay.
I just wanted to respond to Rafiq's question about specifically what I was going to suggest that is taken back to council. And that is a request. I mean, we can only speak here on behalf of this committee, but when I go to ALAC, I'm going to be speaking more generally, that there be a request from the ACs and SOs involved in here to make a specific request for documents about community input that were presented to the board during the retreat. There were a lot of GTLD issues that were discussed. My supposition that may or may not be accurate is that they were all presented in a single presentation with a certain specific set of recommendations that may or may not have been advocating what we were putting forward. So what I'm suggesting, and it sounds like there's some reasonable consensus within this group, is to go back to ALAC and GNSO so that those bodies actually make requests for to make the documentation that was presented to the board on a range of issues to make that open and transparent.
Okay, thank you.
Rafiq, did that answer your question?
Rafiq, are you mute? Rafiq is mute. No, Rafiq can talk. Please, Rafiq. Okay, well, I'll keep Rafiq in the queue. Hopefully he'll be able to answer, unmute himself.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, okay. The question, basically, Evan gave a response to your question and asked whether his answer was okay.
So my understanding is that it's not just limited to our working group, but I will be happy to send the request to the GNSO.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Andrew.
Sorry, I had to get off mute.
Yep.
As we are adding in to our our earlier explanation parts of this, our rationale parts of this, one of the things that we've talked about a lot, but I don't know if we've stressed enough, is just the fact that something that I think we all agree on, which is that this is not a level playing field, and especially when you're talking about parts of the world where there aren't the resources, where the language issues are more substantial, the translation issues are more substantial. They're, when they come back to us and say that one size fits all, I think that we need to be stronger, perhaps, in saying, you know, we're not starting off in the same place, and therefore that one, we're not even talking about one size fitting all. We're actually talking about people starting off with a very big disadvantage.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on this part in terms of the board resolution? Okay, we've only got less than 10 minutes left, and I know that some of you have to leave within five of those at the most. In terms of going forward, what I heard from people, and please correct me if I'm wrong, is that, A, yes, we should be going forward, and we should complete this report and such. B, that we need to speak out in a greater number of forums, publicly, et cetera, about our reasons for this, about our proposals and such as they finalize. C, that in various venues we should be making formal and other requests in terms of, getting information about what indeed was presented to the board, how it was presented, such that we understand the full scope of information that the board had in making its decision. Where was I? I was at 3-4. That we work with other groups whose reports and such were similarly ignored, and we look at what's happening with that. I don't know if I've let out any steps. I see some hands have gone up. One thing I'd like to add to that list is that we still have to try to get the work done in a very timely manner, and so I'm recommending that we would keep working on our two meetings a week and try to get work done in between. Okay, I've got three hands now, Eric, Cheryl, and Tijani. Eric, you're first. Please speak into that.
To the list of things to obtain, I'd like to add a whip count. I'd like to know what the vote was. Was it unanimous? Were there abstentions? Were there any votes opposed? If we're going to imagine that the next board, which is 3 or 4 seats different from the current board, could have a different outcome based on its composition, that belief can't be reasonable if we don't know what the whip count was, that is, what the votes were at this point. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think that's a reasonable request, even if there wasn't another board in the future being considered. So thank you. Cheryl.
Thanks, Avery. And following on from Eric, you keep giving me these perfect segues, Eric. Thank you. While you're very specifically requesting the chartering organisations to ask for very particular things, I have a sudden feeling that there might be one of those multi-chair of AC and SO letters being brewed somewhere in the not-too-distant future. Don't forget to ask for a prompt publishing of the board book, which, of course, even though parts of it may be redacted, is what the board has undertaken to make public to the community, which is a copy of everything that the board members get.
Okay, thank you. Tijani.
Yes, thank you. First of all, the new members of the board will sit after Cartagena, so perhaps it will be late. It's only a remark. Now I come to the main intervention. Hélène sent an email saying that perhaps we were late in giving our outputs to the board. That's why this resolution came. And I don't think so, but for the record, I think we can go faster in accomplishing our work because right now, we are only working during the calls. Only Avery and some few members are working between the calls. And this is wrong. We have all to work between the calls. We have all to prepare the calls so that we can be productive and we can go faster. Thank you.
Thank you. I thank you for that remark. I totally encourage everybody to get more active between the calls. I'd like to make one point on the discussions about next boards. It's speculation at this point, but with a new application guide only coming out in November and the notion that a comment and a community comment period will be held after that new application guide comes out, which is in December, any decision by the board that includes the comment from the community will be made by the new board. Now, it's quite possible that this board could decide, oh, we don't need to wait for the community response to the new application guide and try to make the decision on its own. And then that would be another accountability and transparency issue that would be a major one. But if they follow normal process and an application guide comes out in November and they have a 30-day comment period in all languages, et cetera, remember that at the end of the Cartagena meeting, the new board is sitting. So I think on the timing, I think you're right. If they make a decision in Cartagena, it's the current board. But, and I'm just speculating because I obviously don't have a real timetable. It is now 55. I see no hands. I do not recommend we start on the issues list at this point. I recommend that everyone look at the issues list, look at the draft that I sent out and that Carla sent a clean copy out of. I'll probably take some time in the next day or two and just add a block where we be putting the other explanations and then perhaps put a set of headings for what some of the ones I think we need to provide are, though I won't have gotten very far in content. Obviously, if anyone has content, even on the email list, send a paragraph, send two paragraphs. I can cut it in, or Carla can cut it in, and then we can use that as a base of text on which to start working. I totally agree with Tijani. I want to finish this as soon as we can and then, you know, get into advocacy mode. So is anyone else? I see Tijani has a hand up, and then I'll give Evan a final word, and then we'll close the meeting. Tijani.
Okay, thank you. It's just to say that now we have to work on the draft final document and on the response to the comments. Those are things that we have to work on now, to concentrate on. And I think from now to the next call, which is in 3 days, in 2 days or 3 days,
right,
we have to concentrate on, for example, on the final report, and we have to finish it. If we manage to finish it, it will be very good. So we have to concentrate on a single thing for the next call.
Okay, Johnny, I think I can support that. Let's concentrate on the final report.
Okay.
Evan, as co-chair, any final words?
No, just thanks for the confidence of the group in the action that we're taking about trying to make the board accountable for why it did what it did, and possibly to senior staff for why they recommended what they did to the board. And we'll see where we can go with that.
Okay, I thank you very much. I wish those of you going directly into an ALAS meeting great endurance and patience and success. And I call the meeting closed. Talk to you all on Friday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you then.